Welcome to the Weekend Digital Marketing So Far. It's Friday, August 9th, 2019. We're going to get started today on YouTube. A company called IdTech is hosting YouTube summer camps at 150 locations across the country for kids and teens. In these summer camps, the kids and teens are going to learn how to shoot, edit, and produce their own videos for the YouTube platform. They're also going to learn life lessons like how to collaborate and work with other people. That was it for YouTube. Now we're going to head on over to Google. Google is now downloading, scanning, and allowing podcasts to be played directly inside of the search results. It doesn't appear that podcasters are opting into this service and that Google is just kind of going out around the web, downloading the podcast at will, and then indexing them and allowing them to be played. This does bring up some copyright questions, like, will Google end up doing this with a copyrighted content inside of a podcast like music or something else? That remains to be seen, but for right now, just know that you can look up a podcast in Google and play it directly from there instead of having to use a podcasting app. Google has also rolled the top places list out of beta and into production. This is a feature that when you look for a brand on Google, like say a restaurant, Google's also going to display a top list that brand has been mentioned on from local, regional, or national media. If you're a publisher out there and you're watching this and you haven't started creating top list or listicle style content, now is probably a good time to start doing that. Google Ads is telling us that gallery ads are now in beta testing. Gallery ads were announced at Google Marketing Live earlier this year, and they're basically kind of exactly what they sound like. This is going to be an image gallery. It's also an ad. If you have experience with Facebook ads, you kind of already understand this. It's going to be eight images or up to eight images inside of an ad that's going to display inside of Google search results. Google says this should allow brands to showcase their products and services better inside of Google search. According to a report by Reuters, Monsanto was running Google Ads to redirect Google searchers to a website they own with information about their products. Now, these were on searches about if Monsanto products were dangerous or linked to cancer. This is the second big name company in the last couple of months that we have heard about running PPC campaigns on Google search to sort of impact their reputation. The other was Yelp when the documentary Billion Dollar Bully was released. Finding porn on Google just got harder. Google says that when people search for queries like lesbian, teen, or schoolgirl now, they're going to see non-pornographic entries before they see any pornographic ones. They say this is a problem they've been trying to tackle for quite some time. They're still not perfect at it, but they're trying to get better, and they're trying to show more PG content and not X-rated content. Search Engine Journal reports there's yet another bug in Google. This is another one impacting indexation of new content. Google says they're working on a fix for it. Now, if you've been paying attention to this video series or to SEO at all, you may have noticed indexing has become increasingly more difficult and bug-ridden over at Google. I highly recommend when you publish new content that you go inside of Google Search Console, you go to the URL testing tool, you test the URL there, and then request indexing. Every time I do this, I get a new document or piece of content indexed within about 10 to 15 minutes, and it usually ranks pretty well too. We're going to head over to Facebook now. Facebook and Instagram experienced yet another outage. This outage was a networking error that made it hard for millions of users to access the Facebook family of apps, which include Instagram and WhatsApp. Now, the problem was resolved by about 2:45 p.m. Central Time, so most people probably didn't actually notice this because they were either at church or they were sleeping in. Bloomberg reports that Facebook's advertising platform keeps crashing and causing lots of problems for marketers and businesses that are relying on the platform to communicate with their customers. They don't know what's causing the crashes, and there doesn't appear to be official word from Facebook yet. But if you are impacted by this, just know that somebody in the media is now bringing attention to it, which means we'll probably see Facebook address this really soon. Now, we're gonna do it for the gram. A report by Business Insider shows that Instagram allowed a Silicon Valley startup marketing firm to scrape the stories and associated data of millions of users. This included location data. And this marketing firm was taking this information and building detailed profiles, which they were then reselling to clients for real-time targeting of users on the marketing platform and on Instagram. As soon as Facebook was made aware of this, they immediately kicked the marketing firm called Hyper out of their system. They were also a Facebook marketing partner, and that has been stripped away from them. Hyper says they did nothing wrong, and they think that they're actually going to get all of their access back, and they're going to become a Facebook marketing partner again. But this does highlight that Facebook really, really, really sucks at protecting people's private information. An article on Engadget discusses pornographic spam comments that are being left on posts made by celebrities and popular people on Instagram. They talk about how this is a widespread issue, mostly because the comments get a lot of visibility because they somehow miraculously get lots of likes in a very short period of time and become the top comment. Instagram says they're tackling the problem using machine learning and a bunch of other things, but it doesn't seem to be working as the same spam comments get left over and over and over and over again. Celebrities appear to have enough. They're going to Twitter and complaining about this. Hopefully Instagram can take action because the spam comments say things like, check out my profile and try not to masturbate and other horrible things like that that kids can then see. Facebook is rumored to want to rename Instagram. Now, it's going to keep the Instagram part of the name, but Facebook wants everyone to know that they own Instagram. So the rumor is they're going to rebrand it to Instagram from Facebook. This is probably the dumbest thing I've ever heard, and it probably not end up going well, but then again, Facebook and Instagram own most of the social media audience out there, so maybe they know what they're doing. Over on Twitter, they're testing a new feature on the mobile app that will allow you to snooze push notifications for 1, 3, or 12 hours. This is really good news for anybody that has a very active Twitter feed or manages multiple Twitter accounts. You'll now be able to take a digital break a lot more easily. Bonus, 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 it's bonus round time! Woo! Yelp is pushing some users' phone calls to restaurants through phone numbers from Grubhub, which allows Grubhub to charge those restaurants a commission or a fee, even if that phone call is not used to place an order for food, for delivery, takeout, whatever. Hey Yelp, this is stupid and you suck. There was a really active discussion in the SEO community this week about the nofollow attribute on links and about whether or not it's appropriate for websites to do a blanket nofollow on all external links, or if they should go piece by piece and do nofollow on those links. It kind of broke down like this. If you're a user-generated content site and you don't know the users and therefore you don't trust them, then nofollowing all of the links that those users add with a blanket policy makes a lot of sense. But if you're a publisher, like, I don't know, let's say CBS, and you nofollow all of your external links, you're essentially saying you don't trust your writers, your journalists that you pay money to do the research and write the content to link out accordingly. If you're an SEO out there watching this video and you've made it this far, please head down to the comments below and tell me how you think large websites, publishers, and UGC websites should use nofollow attributes. FedEx decided not to renew their agreement for ground shipping with Amazon. They have already decided not to do any airplane shipping with Amazon. This is really good news if you're an e-commerce marketer out there, although it doesn't look like this is going to slow Amazon down any. Amazon says this was kind of a mutual breakup, and they don't think it's going to impact their shipping at all, but it might. So if you're an e-commerce marketer out there and you're currently partnered with FedEx, this might open up an opportunity for you to highlight that. It was revealed this week that Microsoft employees are listening in on Skype phone calls. Sometimes they even listen in from home, so there's no telling who has heard these discussions that you've had over Skype. This is a bit of a problem. We've seen Amazon and Apple and Google have similar issues with humans reviewing the audio content, and therefore they record it so the humans can listen to it. The problem is that you never gave them permission to do this. And if you're using Skype and having sensitive business or marketing conversations, there's a chance somebody at Microsoft could listen into that and use that information against you. Our final story today is about Apple. I think pretty much everybody watching this video has probably already heard this, but Apple seems to be going after small business owners that fix and repair electronics. It seems that in their newest versions of the iPhone, they have put a new software component in there that will actually make battery and battery health features quit working if the battery is replaced by a non-Apple battery and Apple isn't the one to do the replacement. This obviously makes it very hard for consumers to want to go to an independent repair shop and get their iPhone battery replaced. It would then force consumers to go into an Apple store and pay to get their battery replaced there. One person talking about this said, imagine your check oil light comes on and you can only get it to turn off by going to the Ford dealership, even though anybody can change your oil. Thank you everybody out there in podcast land. We are now on Spotify. So if you like this and you're tired of going to Podbean to download it directly, you can look up the show on Spotify. We'll see you there.